20 from verse 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy.
Second reading is Mark chapter 2, starting at verse 23 through to Mark 3, verse 5, and that is found on page 1004 of the Church Bible. That's Mark chapter 2, starting at verse 23. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick up some ears of corn. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the day of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he'd heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored.
Let us pray. That this time, Father, may be a time to attend to what you would say, to hear the goodness of your word, to open our hearts and allow you in to guide and shape and empower us in living for Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. This is the beginning of a series of talks through Lent that all of our churches are doing in the Baddow team on life and how we balance life between work and rest, and how we use the time that we have to stay connected with God so that our lives are truly full and fulfilling. So they take the idea of Sabbath and they explore it from five different angles to see what it means and how it can be a gift to us. So today we're looking at a time to pause, and then we'll look at a time to celebrate next week. Then comes a time to rest, a time to play, and at the end there's time to liberate. And today's talk is, as you would expect, kind of introductory, to lay out some principles of the time of Sabbath, because we've all heard the word, but perhaps we're not sure what it is. Most of us probably will remember the Sunday restrictions that we all had. But now they're gone. And in our world, there seems no difference between Sunday and any other day. We're pretty sure, are we not, that we know that Sabbath keeping is one of the Ten Commands. Indeed, the reading that we had from Exodus is the very text in that place, not when it comes again in Deuteronomy, but in that place it links it to God's creation and his activity in creation, making all things, at the end of which he rested. 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and all that is in them, but on the seventh he rested because it had been a hard week for God. 6 days of creating, and on the seventh he needed a rest and a cup of tea. Well, put like that, taking a Sabbath is at best a reflection of being like God, having a rest at the end of a busy week, a command to be kept in order to show we are his people. But what if it's more than a command to be kept? I mean, as if we're doing God a favor by turning up to worship. As if it's something that we do for him. No, no. What if Sabbath is a gift? Something that liberates us, lifts our eyes to the eternal glories. Because Christians don't keep Sabbath. Now, I don't want to undermine you by or destabilize you by saying these things, but I just want to expand your thoughts for a moment. It's not a rest at the end of the week. Very early on in Christian life, they stopped worshiping on the Saturday and they started worshiping on a Sunday because the Sunday was the day of resurrection, the day of new life, the day of recreation. So it might be a new thought to you that in Jesus, all the Ten Commandments are fulfilled. He has fulfilled every requirement of the law for you. But then, you see, the New Testament puts them all back as demonstrations, really, or examples of the way that Christians will naturally live out what it means to be the people of God. It puts them all back except for one. And that one is remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Why does it not put it back? It doesn't put it back because we're always in the Sabbath. We're always in the presence of God. Christ Jesus has brought us to the new creation where we don't have to work for our salvation. It's all been done for us, where we can rest in that salvation. Always living in the presence of God, as our well-chosen songs today have been speaking about. So instead of a command to be kept, it's a gift to you. A promise that sets you free. When you live by the Spirit of Jesus, you'll live your whole life in his presence. His presence living in me, sustaining you with his grace. We are permanently Sabbath people. So no longer a command then, but a gift. But also a door in which we pass through into new dimensions. So we remember the Sunday restrictions, when we could buy some things and not others. That was always a puzzle to me when I was a boy. There wasn't much else going on except play cricket. But that is God's game. A game that in theory goes on forever and in which a draw is as much a result as a win or a lose? I mean, it's got to be a mystery, hasn't it? How can it not be God's game? It's all very well to live in a world like that. But rather than being a world, rather than being a time for not doing things, Sabbath gives us time for doing what's really important, for giving and receiving instead of buying and selling, being part of God's creation instead of working it to make profit, meeting and greeting those who are near and dear to us, time that gives us the richness of heavenly life. So it invites us to have a different attitude, to take the principles of resting and thanksgiving and generosity and applying them to our life. And to do that, we need to find something that's quite surprising, if what I've said isn't surprising enough. That this gift has to be received. We speak of spending time, or finding time, or making time. But Sabbath is a time to be received as gift. So look how in Mark's gospel we're given the way that Jesus receives this Sabbath time. Out for a walk. Verse 1 says he's out there with his friends. Both of those things being gifts. And the friends feel free to pick the grain of corn from the field. Presumably they grind it up in their hands and eat it and chew it over. I'm told, although there's two different books, there's the book we're following, which says there's over 1,000 restrictions for the Sabbath. The commentary I read yesterday or the day before said there are 39 restrictions for a Sabbath, things you couldn't do. They're probably both right, and they're probably counting different things. But the 39 book said that the third one is reaping, is banned on a Sabbath. You can't do it. So what the disciples have done, whichever book you read, what the disciples have done was to break the rule. The Pharisees were there to point it out to Jesus. They have gone reaping on a Sabbath. But Jesus doesn't see the Sabbath as something of a rule which human beings have to keep. He sees it as an opportunity for the Sabbath time to be a blessing to them. What is the human need? Well, in this case, it's food. Well, let the time serve that need. Let's eat. And he speaks of King David, who's done that before him. Before David was king, he was on the run from Saul, if you remember, and they got hungry. They went to the shrine at Shiloh, where the showbread was placed in the sanctuary. And that showbread was there for 7 days, and then it was removed and meant to be eaten by the priests and only by the priests. But David says, well, we need some grub. And he took that showbread and he ate it and he gave the rest of it to his men. And it was now a celebrated moment of good, necessary for the great King David, the golden man of the nation, to rise. Well, says Jesus, if it's good enough for King David, it's good enough for us. Sabbath was made for people, not people for the Sabbath. So if we are to set aside Sabbath time, well, let the time be good for us. Let it enrich our lives. Do the thing that's really important to bless and enhance life. Because in Mark's gospel, the story goes on to another time he was in the synagogue. And Jesus isn't using that time just for himself. He uses it to bring blessing to others. He went to the synagogue and a man with a shriveled hand was there and he was being watched to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. So where before Jesus is brought a scriptural question and he gives a scriptural answer, now, because they're watching him personally, he meets it with a personal demonstration. But before he does his personal demonstration of healing, he brings a question with it. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? There's the rub, you see. Are we turning the command of God, which has to be good, are we turning it into something that's bad? Because to turn the good commandment of God into something that causes harm has to be evil. And the answer to us is obvious, isn't it? Of course, the purpose is to do good. And I suspect that the answer was kind of obvious to the people who were with Jesus. But because it was obvious, they remained silent. They were unable to go with his logic because it would undermine their own position. So, in personal demonstration of what he means, Jesus heals the man. And the verse we didn't have read in our gospel reading lets us in on how twisted this turning good into evil becomes. When they're unable to receive the time as gift and serve themselves, the Pharisees go out and begin to plot with the Herodians how to kill Jesus. How necessary is it to kill in order to keep the rule? Because if you weren't going to keep it as a rule, then it was to bring death. That's the Pharisaical mind. For Jesus, the Sabbath was a gift to be received and to bring blessing and health and life. So let's think then for a moment how, if Sabbath is not necessarily to be a particular day on which only some things are done and others are not, how can we recognize Sabbath? How can we enter into it more fully? Well, be still for the presence of the Lord. Sabbath, first of all, is about stillness. It comes from the Hebrew Shabbat, meaning to pause, to cease, and be still. So Sabbath gives us an opportunity to stop doing the things that we're often preoccupied with and reflect for a time on our values and our priorities, remembering again what's most important. And yet there is a challenge, isn't there, in stopping. To be still is hard work. We do have to stop to enter into Sabbath. So you might want to make Sabbath a day, a whole day. Yet actually, if we're honest, how difficult is it to make a whole day a Sabbath day? A day when you can specifically rest and enjoy and receive and share and celebrate because you pause from all the other things that get in the way. Then Sabbath is about rhythm, regular moments of stopping and ceasing, moments that give us markers in time, acknowledging in our God-given humanity that the work of God in creation was completed, and at the end of that 6 days, God rested, remembering that at the end of all things, Christ cried out, "It is finished." As a clergy in the Church of England, we are expected to have 1 day off in 7, and we're always being asked about it. Have you had your 1 day off in 7? Mirroring that days of creation. When we don't engage in the work of the parish. But not only is that a Sabbath expectation, in a regular day, we clergy are expected to partake in prayer, morning and evening, sometimes in the middle of the day too, to be a praying people, stepping aside from activity in order to engage with God. Small Sabbath moments in an ordinary working day. Because that helps us then think about receiving Sabbath, Sabbath time. We've said much about receiving it already, but what if when we were at the traffic lights and we're waiting for it to go green, instead of thinking, "Oh, I should have gone the other way," I do that sometimes when I know there's road works, I'll go the other way and not get held up. What if I thought, "There's a traffic jam, and I can spend 30 seconds or a minute not doing anything, putting the car in neutral, taking my feet off the pedals, and having a moment of rest"? What if when we went to the doctors, we thought, "Cool, could be half an hour waiting for my appointment." Instead of thinking, "Oh, I better go, my appointment's at 9:30, won't get in till 10 o'clock. Or at the hospital, 4 hours it's going to take." And what if it was 4 hours to sit and wait and have a Sabbath moment? Treat it as a gift. Take it as a time to relax and to rest and to think and pray, even as we go about our daily lives, appreciating God's gifts, appreciating those who are around us. Florence Nightingale would say, "Carry your bedpans aloft to the glory of God." Only when we get to that point of recognizing the presence of God in our daily life and in our daily work are we able then to enter into this Sabbath of being in God's presence all the time. It brings the very attitudes of Sabbath into the very actions of work. How lovely. Because Sabbath is about refreshment. Not just ceasing work, but doing things that bring life and enjoyment and creativity. I am building a house. You know that because I go on about it all the time. When I was putting insulation in the loft, and you said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm going on a climbing holiday." Now I've been plasterboarding the whole house. "What are you doing?" I've said, "I've been doing a giant jigsaw puzzle." It's great fun. Not doing work in the parish here, but doing work that I'm finding liberating, enlivening. Just got to find a way of recognizing it. My body aches like anything at the moment, because I'm far too old to be building a house, but I'm doing it. The Jewish people have a prayer. They know this. This prayer takes up the opportunity of Sabbath, which they say just before it begins. "Come, let us welcome Sabbath in joy and peace, like a bride, radiant and joyous, comes the Sabbath. It brings blessing to our hearts. Workaday thoughts and cares are put aside. The brightness of the Sabbath shines forth to tell that the divine spirit of love abides within our home. And in that light, all our blessings are enriched, all our griefs and trials are softened. Stillness and rhythm, receiving and refreshment. These are four ways we can recognize Sabbath. We can look for them, make them part of life, because everybody works. Whether they're employed or voluntary, part-time, whole-time, retired, spare time, fag time, we all work, and we all work hard, as it happens. But Sabbath is God's gift to bring meaning to that work, and we do well to put it into practice. So here's a prayer that runs right through these sermon series. God of eternity, teach us to pause. God of creation, teach us to wonder. God of Sabbath, teach us to rest. God of delight, teach us to play. God of the poor, teach us to share in your work of liberation. God of love, reconciling us through Christ Jesus, fill our lives with your perfect peace. Amen.